So every Sunday morning, about 7 or 7:30 a.m., I come in this space, and I get up here in an empty sanctuary, and I practice the message that I think God has given me. And it's a good way to practice. It's better than doing it in my basement at home, and it feels more like I'm getting ready to see my family. And so I thought, with all that experience of preaching in the mornings before church to an empty sanctuary, this would be a more comfortable experience. I got to tell you, it's not. It is super awkward, and I imagine all the more so awkward for you as you are at home watching us and maybe wishing you were here. It's been just a crazy week, and a bunch of crazy weeks in a row. And as I've been thinking, even Friday, as we decided we weren't going to be able to have people in our worship service this morning, I went back to our scripture, and I had to sort of reconsider what I thought God had for us this morning. We're using the same scripture, but I prayed over it some more and looked over it some more, and I kept coming back to this one verse that the Thessalonican people say about Paul and Silas. They say, these men are turning the world upside down. I don't know about you, but for me, it feels a little bit like our world has been turned upside down. I'm wondering when you first started feeling that. Maybe it was weeks and weeks ago as this disease began, but for me, honestly, even though I was heartbroken about what was happening around the world, it didn't really hit home for me. I still felt like this was going to be something that would come eventually. And I know how superficial this sounds, but the thing that really landed the plane for me this week, that this was a huge deal for us that started turning my world upside down, even before I learned that we were going to need to cancel our worship. Guys, it was Duke basketball. So Duke decided to cancel basketball for the rest of the year, and this was a crisis. It turned my world upside down. I look forward to March Madness every year, and so knowing that there would be no basketball, no ACC tournament, no NCAA tournament, brought it home. And then, a little bit later, on that same day, I believe, we got the word from the governor that groups of 250 or more should not be worshiping, and boy, that really set my head spinning. When did it happen for you? When was the moment for you that you started feeling a little bit like this was turning our world upside down? Maybe for you it happened sooner. Maybe for you it happened as you heard the stories of what's been happening in other countries around the world, because those stories are truly heartbreaking. The pictures continue to come in. In fact, I've got a couple of the overwhelming pandemic that's going on. Can you just put up the first? So this is a picture of a makeshift hospital in Wuhan, China, where they are overwhelmed with people. Can you show the next one? They've actually turned exhibition halls designed for conferences into emergency hospitals to create enough bed space for people to be cared for by medical professionals. Italy's the same way. This is another makeshift hospital in Italy where they literally have no room to take people into hospital beds anymore. And in fact, there's also one more picture, inflatable hospitals and tents that are being set up outside of regular hospitals in Italy because they just can't get everybody in the doors. I'm reading that there are people who have corona-induced pneumonia in Italy who are being sent home because they simply can't be cared for in the hospitals themselves. It's kind of overwhelming. And as you've been reading those stories, and as you've been sort of following the news, you've heard all of this, right? You've heard of the overwhelming and ongoing tragedy. Thousands of people have already lost their lives. Tens of thousands are infected in those countries, and in our country as well. We have an increasing number of people who've been infected or who've lost their lives. And part of what's brought that home to me, I saw a Facebook video this week. It was a video in Italian of a man showing two newspapers. The first one was February 9th. And he went to the obituaries page, and there was a page and a half of obituaries, these little notices and photographs of people who'd passed away. Then he showed a picture from March this past Friday. And there were 10 pages of obituaries. And as he was flipping pages, one another, and a picture after picture of a person who'd lost their life because of this disease. For me, it brought it home, of what a terrible tragedy this is, of how our world is being turned down. Now, I recognize this is a unique situation, and I recognize that, at least in my life, I've not lived through anything like this before. It's developing so fast, and it's so all-encompassing. But I also recognize that there are a lot of things in our lives, a lot of things that can happen to us that can feel like they turn our world upside down. I mentioned my friend Bess Vick passed away this week. I was talking about her last Sunday. And I know when a loved one dies, it can feel like your world gets turned upside down. When you lose a job, when you lose a relationship with a loved one, a spouse, a child, when you come down with depression for the very first time, when you or someone you love is dealing with a life-changing addiction, we have this experience of feeling like our lives are backwards, are upside down, are out of control. And I think for me, this experience and all of those experiences come back to this idea of feeling like things are out of control, that the way the parameters within which I feel safe and secure are disrupted, and I'm not in control anymore. And when you go to the grocery store and you can't find toilet paper, and when your kids' school is canceled, and when your church doesn't meet in person, you start feeling. And I want to suggest that for us as believers, this shouldn't be a radical new idea. Because for us as believers, we recognize something different. We recognize and proclaim another king, right? That's what the Thessalonians get right about the message that Paul and Silas bring. They come proclaiming another king named Jesus. And the message of the Christian faith is that I'm not in control and never was and never should be. The message of the Christian faith is that Christ is in control. He is the one true king. And our lives are never rightly ordered until they find their place in Him. And so in the midst of these moments where it feels like everything is upside down and backwards and spinning out of control, we come back to the story of God and remind ourselves that there is another king named Jesus. Now, it's important for us to remember that God didn't cause all of this stuff, right? So please don't misunderstand me. I don't want to suggest that Jesus is the reason for this virus. God doesn't cause evil. But the Christian faith tells us that in all things, God is working for the good of those who love Him. And even in the midst of crises like this, God is still working for our good, and Jesus is still ultimately in control. But I think the problem that we face as believers is more that we want to be in control, and when we look around and see our world upside down, we struggle to understand why. And this is really important for us. I believe the world is upside down, but it's not because of God, and it's not because of the coronavirus. In fact, Scripture tells us why the world's upside down. We read it today in Isaiah. Scripture says, do it. We have the world upside down. The Lord said, these people draw near me with their mouths and honor me with their lips while their hearts are far from me, and the worship of me is a human commandment learned by rote. You turn things upside down. I don't in any way want to belittle or diminish the significance of this disease and this pandemic, but I want to point out that the world was broken before Corona. And I want to point out that the source of that brokenness is us, right? That we, in our selfishness, have turned God's world on its head. A little example, I was reading this week the story of hand sanitizer. So maybe over the last few days or weeks, you've gone out to the store and tried to get some hand sanitizer. And if you have, my guess is you were not successful. In fact, our church was trying to procure some hand sanitizer for impossible. We had people in high positions who said, there's just no way. It's all gone. There's a lot of reasons for that. Part of that is because, of course, there's a real need, and good people, hospitals and medical professionals are buying it up to use it in great ways. It's not the only reason, however. So I ran across the story. I'm not going to name this guy, but will you put this picture up for me? I ran across the story of this gentleman. He's one of many people who have been stockpiling sanitizer for resale. So this guy currently is sitting on 17,700 bottles of hand sanitizer. And he was interviewed, and they asked him, you know, what were you doing? What was going on? How did this happen? He said, well, he's an Amazon reseller. And he realized early on that there was an opportunity to make some profit here. And so he went to Walmart and to Office Depot and Walgreens, and he cleaned out the shelves. And then he went on a 1,300-mile journey in Tennessee and Kentucky, and he cleaned out every other place he could find, especially a sort of mom-and-pop stores. And he brought it all back, and then he started selling it on Amazon and eBay. And a $2 bottle of hand sanitizer right now would sell for $20, $30 or more. He was making hand-over-fist money. Now, thanks be to God, somebody at some point pointed this out, and those big resellers, Amazon and eBay and others, have cracked down, in fact, closed some of these accounts and made it illegal to sell or resell hand sanitizer at those extraordinary rates. But so now this guy's sitting on his huge stockpile. And I look at that and I think, you know, he in his article he says, well, I did it because I wanted to help redistribute the stuff from mom and pop stores to people who really needed it in other places. And I thought, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. And it's easy to point out somebody like that and say, hey, this is what's wrong with the world, right? People who try to make a profit in the midst of a crisis. But honestly, if I look at myself, if I look at my life, that same selfishness is in me. Maybe it doesn't come out that way, but it's in me. And it's probably in you too. We struggle to not run after the... We struggle not to pursue the world's fame and the world's wealth and the world's success and the world's power and ultimately the control that we think those things will bring us. And as we seek out all of that selfish stuff, we turn God's world upside down. But here's the good news. In all things, God is working for the good of those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. And even in the midst of the crises like this, like the one we're in right now, or whatever one you might have going on in your life, we still can see God working for the good of those who love Him. We can still see God ultimately in control. One of the real encouraging things for me this week, as all this stuff started coming down the pipeline, and it felt like this week everything accelerated to an incredible speed, one of the most impactful moments for me, I said jokingly about basketball, but in all seriousness, was I think it was Tuesday or Wednesday earlier in the week when the NBA decided to cancel all their games. And I'm not a big NBA fan, but I was overwhelmed by the leadership in our community and our nation of people who said, hey, the people, our employees and our players, is more important. This was a decision, by the way, that came down long before the government started mandating or encouraging any kind of closures. I was just overwhelmed. I mean, here's an organization that's going to lose billions and billions of dollars in ticket and ad revenue and TV rights. And they did it without being told they had to. They did it because it was the right thing to do. Maybe you've been watching online, but if you haven't, go on YouTube and look for Italians and singing. There's been this incredible dynamic that's happened in Italy as they are on this overwhelming lockdown, as they've been told not to leave their homes because of the significance of the pandemic there. And there's all these videos of Italians in these close together apartment buildings going on their balconies and singing with each other. And I got to tell you, it's inspiring. And they'll go out and they'll bring speakers or guitars or they'll sing a cappella. And all of a sudden, you've got people across the street joining their voices, city blocks, singing together just as a way to say, hey, this is going on, but it hasn't defeated us, right? Our spirits aren't run down. We believe and hope. We trust. Maybe even we trust in God. It's an inspiring thing. And in the midst of all of this stuff, there are people who are continuing to try to live this world and leave this world the way God wants it to be. I came across a video of some ordinary people doing some extraordinary things in Wuhan in China, and I want to share that with you.
This place used to be Wuhan's busiest commercial center. Now it's empty. But there's one bubble tea shop, perhaps the only one in town, still open, only to medical workers. Ten volunteers, mostly in their 20s, make bubble tea and bread every day here. They don't have private cars. Public transportation is shut down. For 22-year-old Ye Mengyi, it means she has to walk hours every day.
A
nurse who was coordinating the distribution of medical supplies.
就是武汉市和周边市区各个医院送物资，然后这边顺丰的站点就给予了很多帮助。包括有给荆州市中心医院送的物资，他们站点的费用都是他们员工自己出的。自己出的？对。SF
Express is one of the three express companies that insist on providing service in town during the virus outbreak, but only for sending and receiving medical goods.
我没有跟其他的公司的快递小哥交流过，羡慕他们现在。也不是羡慕，我觉得他们应该羡慕我们，因为我们在疫情最严重的时候还在挺身而出，还在为大家服务。我们觉得还是蛮自豪的。When I hear those stories, when I hear the stories of people who are standing up and doing extraordinary things, I feel like I'm getting a glimpse of what God's kingdom is supposed to be, of what God desires for all of us to be. And then we come to Isaiah and we get the full picture. And God says, on that day when my kingdom comes in its fullness, on that day the deaf shall hear the words of a scroll, and out of their gloom and darkness the eyes of the blind shall see. The meek shall obtain fresh joy in the Lord, and the neediest people shall exult in the Holy One of Israel. For the tyrant shall be no more, and the scoffer shall cease to be. All those alert to do evil shall be cut off. See, the Thessalonians miss, what they get wrong, is that it's not Paul and Silas that are turning the world upside down. And it's not even God who's doing that, right? And it's not the coronavirus who's turning our world upside down. We've done that, right? In our selfishness and our brokenness and our sin, we've done that. God's doing something different. God's turning the world right side up again. God has a vision for what this world could be, where peace and joy and hope and promise reign supreme, where people like that are not exemplary but ordinary, where we are called to be this community, where even the blind can see and the deaf can hear, and all are overwhelmed and exulting in the joy of the Lord. And God calls us to be part of that work. He calls us to be part of the work of putting his world right again, ruled not by a bunch of broken people, but by a perfect king, another king, a king named Jesus. And maybe that's part of the reason that he's got us here for such a time as this. Maybe our job is to help God to right this world again. in this moment, there are some practical things that we can do. And some of them maybe don't sound that glamorous. I was listening to a sportscaster this week. A lot of sports in my life this week. And the sportscaster was talking about the fact that his father was a fireman. So his father had saving. That, you know, for most of us, we don't have that experience unless you are a fireman or an EMT or a police officer or a medical professional. You probably don't have any experience literally saving the life of another person. But in this season, you can. In this season, by doing something as and sense of control, by doing something as simple as just staying home for church on a Sunday, for washing your hands and not getting close to people and quarantining as much as possible, we can maybe literally save lives. I'm not sure. I've been told up till recently that 100% affected by corona die from it. Actually, I saw a statistic that said, but all your old, the mortality is 15%. Or medicine that reduces your immune system, they're pretty high as well. And so we actually can literally save lives by giving up some of our control and saying, you know what, I'm not going to go out there and socialize and be with people and do the things I want to do normally because I want to keep people safe. We can pray. When we pray, it is Christ in control and not us. And when we pray, we're reminded that it is God who ultimately will save not just us from this virus, but us from every crisis in our lives. And so committing time, not just in passing, but committing time every day to say, please work in a mighty way against this disease and protect those who are in harm's way. Protect those who are working. Is an incredible tool that and there may be more that we do in this particular situation. We were having some conversations just yesterday on my heart, on some of our hearts, are the kids in our school district. Schools close on Wednesday, and there are children in our community here in the Wausau area who get their only meal, only reliable nutrition from school. So we as a church, that I don't know if we can do anything at all, but we're going to find if helpful with food. Whatever happens in our programming, our food pantry will stay open. We're going to keep serving people cautions, make sure that people have food if they need it in the midst of this crisis. Eventually, we don't know when, we believe this crisis will be over. It might be weeks. It might be months. We don't know. But eventually this crisis will be over. And then my hope and my prayer is that we experience as a family of faith and as a community, as a nation, as a world, recognizing that we never had the control we thought we had. Recognizing that it's us who have turned the world upside down, and it's God who calls us to help set it right side up again. My hope and my prayer is that we'll be a people that's committed as we go forward to continue to work with God to put things right in His world. That we won't go back to normal, but we'll bring our normal back to God. May it be so. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.